I wonder when the last time was that you were in awe of God. Have you ever had that experience when you get a glimpse of just how great God is and all you can say is wow? Maybe it's when you look at a part of creation. Maybe it's when you experience an answered prayer. Maybe it's in a time of worship or even reading your Bible and you get a sense of just how great God is. Sometimes for me, when it is a clear night and you're maybe out of the city and you just look up at the night sky and you see all the stars and it's breathtakingly beautiful. And then I think about just how enormous it is, just the size of space. It is just unfathomable how great it is. And then I think about how long it took the light to travel from those stars to get to my eyes. And you know that you're looking thousands of years into the past. And I look up at the night sky and I start to get a sense of fear. Not because I'm scared, but because I realize that I am small as I stare up at something that is just so big and beyond. And then I think of Psalm 113, when it says that God stoops down to look at the stars. No matter how big space is, God is so much greater. He is infinite and eternal. And he, when we lift our eyes to conceive of his holiness, it leaves us in a sense of awe. It makes us go, wow, we have a holy God. My problem is, though, I don't have enough of that awe in my life. Too often, I relate to God as though he was small. And when I make my God small, then my heart is filled with worries instead of worship. When I make my God small, then my heart acts out of selfish pride rather than out of love for others. When my God is small, then my heart ignores the word of God and I have a casual attitude to sin. We're doing this series looking at the life of Moses in Exodus, and today we're looking at the account of the plagues in Egypt. And these chapters are here to lift our eyes up to see the greatness of our holy God. And it also makes us look inward and to examine our own heart and ask ourselves, are we living as though God is big? Or are we looking at God as though he was small? If you do have a Bible with you, you might like to look at Exodus. And we're going to look at chapters 7 through to 10. But we're just going to give a very brief overview and not go into too much detail. But if you do have any questions about anything that's in there, please do ask. Last week, we looked at the story of the burning bush. And afterwards, Moses was called by God to go to Pharaoh and to tell the king that he should let the Israelite slaves go to worship God. He reunites with his brother Aaron and they go to the Israelites. They tell them what God said and they respond with worship. But then they go to Pharaoh. They tell him what God said and he has a very different response. So in chapter 5, verses 1 to 2, afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord? Who is he that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. I will not let Israel go." Pharaoh's response was, "I don't know who your God is, but I know who I am. I am the king, and nobody tells me what to do." For Pharaoh, the Lord was small and insignificant, and not somebody that needed to be listened to. And then Pharaoh showed how much power he had by increasing the workload for the Israelites. So they still had to make the same quota of bricks, but they took away the straw, so they would have to go and increase their work. Pharaoh did not know who God was. And God is going to use the plagues to show him. The plagues and the events that happened was not about persuasion, but about revelation. By these wonders, God was showing Pharaoh exactly who he is and why he should obey him. I don't know if there's any other fans of the Marvel movies. These are these big superhero movies, these big blockbusters, hugely popular. Over the space of 10 years, there's been 22 movies that kind of all tie in together. And in the big kind of final epic battle, there's this moment where one of the heroes goes up to this big supervillain called Thanos and says, "You took everything from me." And the villain turns to her coldly and says, "I don't know who you are." And then she replies with, "You will." And then there's like lots of CGI and a big kind of fight, a battle that's going on. But he said, "I don't know who you are." And she said, "I am going to show you with the power that I have." It's kind of like what's going on here in the story of Moses, Pharaoh, and the plagues. God is showing Pharaoh who he is by showing him the power that he has. This is what it says in Exodus chapter 7, verse 5. "And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it." God is showing Pharaoh who he is. And first of all, I want to just point out that he's showing Pharaoh that he is the King of Kings. See, humanly speaking, Pharaoh was as powerful as a human can get. He had international political influence. He had vast wealth. He had military might. He was worshipped by his people as a god. When he gave a command, it was followed. And then you've Moses and Aaron, two 80-year-olds, a shepherd and a slave, and they make this request that his entire labor force has a long weekend off to go and worship. And so we can kind of understand why Pharaoh just laughs and says, "No way." But as the plagues start, we see that Pharaoh is not as powerful as he thought. All human power is limited and fragile. We've seen that over the last 2 years when this tiny microscopic virus just made the world stop. And it's the same here in these chapters. Pharaoh, for all his power as king, he can't control the river when it turns to blood. He can't command the swarms of insects to stop. He can't send his army to go out and fight against disease. He's not as powerful as he thought. God is the King of Kings. All authority is his. Nature obeys his voice. When he says, "Let there be light," there is light. And when he says, "Let there be darkness," there is darkness. Now, of course, for hundreds of years, people have been reading these plagues and they said, "But did that really happen? There must be just some natural explanation of the events that are happening here. There must have just been some red sediment in the Nile that made it look like blood. And there was just an eclipse at that time. It couldn't actually be happened as it was described in the Bible." Because we look at those events and say, "But that's just impossible." But that, of course, is the whole point of miracles. God is showing that what is impossible for us is possible for him. These miracles and wonders show the unlimited creative power of God. He can do what is impossible. God is the King of Kings, and he is the God of gods. The Lord is supreme over all powers, rulers, and authorities. There's lots of sports on this afternoon. I don't know if you've got your viewing lined up. There's the Wimbledon men's final, then of course the Euro final in the football later on. And we'll have people, teams competing against each other to see who will be victorious, to see who's the best. In the narrative of the plagues, there's a competition going on. It's not between Moses and Pharaoh. It's not even between Pharaoh and God. It's between Pharaoh and all of the Egyptian gods against the Lord, against Yahweh. Egypt was polytheistic. They had many gods. There was over 2,000 of them. But the Lord, through these miracles, is showing that he is the one true God. So Hadi, the god of the Nile, was unable to stop what the Lord did by turning it to blood. Hecate, the goddess of fertility, who had a head of a frog, was unable to stop the swarms of frogs. Ra, the sun god, was unable to keep the sun moving when God told it to stop. Again, these 2,000 gods were unable to step in and to stop what the Lord was doing. These plagues show that these gods were just idols and were not gods at all. The plagues show the Egyptians, Pharaoh, the Israelites, and the whole world that the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of the Hebrews, is the King of Kings and the God of gods. He is supreme in his power and unlimited in his authority. For Israel, these plagues are a sign of salvation. But for Pharaoh, these plagues are a sign of judgment. And these chapters give us a real picture, don't they, of what God's judgment is like for those that consistently oppose what God is doing. If you read through them, it's not an easy read. It makes us feel a little uncomfortable, and it is supposed to. But sometimes we want to just kind of skip past it, and we say to ourselves things like, oh, but that's the God of the Old Testament, but I much prefer the God of the New Testament, and he's a little bit nicer than what we read here. And of course, we get to the New Testament, we have this good news where we have access through Christ to this loving Heavenly Father, where we find complete safety, total acceptance, and when we can find endless forgiveness, no matter what our sin is, no matter who we are, no matter how many times we fail, in our weaknesses, we can come to God and find salvation. But we need to remember that as time goes on and we keep going to God and receiving his love and receiving his forgiveness, sometimes we can think that our sin is small, not that his grace is great. Our sin is not small. Our sin is great. And God's greatness is that much bigger. For us to receive the love and forgiveness and grace that we have, Christ had to suffer and die on a cross, where something much worse than those 10 plagues were inflicted upon him. That is the cost of the grace that we have. And so, yes, we have this complete love and acceptance that we can have in God. But we need to remember that God is a holy God. And these plagues should make us think twice before we say no to him. We should have that healthy fear, that respect for the greatness of God. Yes, we are loved utterly, but God is a holy God. And the right response is to worship him. But Pharaoh saw all these things happen, and his heart was hard. His pride and his sin wanted to keep God small so that he would not have to submit to his authority or obey his word. We see a similar thing in the Gospels too. Jesus performed countless miracles. He showed that he has power over nature, over sickness, over evil, and that these miracles revealed that he is the Christ, the Son of God. But the religious rulers, they saw all those things and they had a hard heart. They refused to accept what they were seeing. Their pride and their sin refused to accept Jesus' authority, and they refused to listen to his words. They wanted to keep his influence small, so they plotted to kill him. They used their power and their lies to put him on a cross. But God showed the world who Jesus truly is by raising him from the dead. Our God is not a small God. He has power over creation. He has power over disease, power above earthly wealth and rule, power even over death. So today, let him be your king and let him be your God. Do not harden your heart, but worship and obey our great and holy God, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's just take a moment to respond and just let those words sit into us as we just take a moment to pray. Father God, you are the God of miracles. You show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. We thank you that your Son, Jesus, who was nailed to the cross by wicked people, but raised from the dead by you, has been made both Lord and Christ. So we pray, come, Holy Spirit, give us a fresh sense of awe for the holiness of God, so that our hearts may be filled with worship and our lives empty of sin. To the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.